So I want to begin by thanking all the volunteers and Linda for leading us in that wonderful break of sweat, at least for me. Felt really good. So I just came off a four-day training, a somatic experiencing, and Donald Rothberg is also in the training. And I happened to ask him, I knew I was doing this today, and I knew where it was located, but I had forgotten the time. So I went over to him to ask if he would just happen to know this. And he just happened to have been here for the last 2 weeks. So I'm real excited because I'm going to continue the theme of working with challenging emotions, but through the lens of the Brahma Viharas, or the Four Immeasurables, or the Heavenly Abodes, as they're called. And specifically, I'm going to talk about sympathetic joy, or mudita. And I can't remember who said it, but mudita seems to be one of the hardest practices for Westerners, for us, maybe because of the cultural phenomena of work, being in this country and how we relate to generosity and how we relate to caring and appreciating the joy of others. So it's a practice, like everything else in our life. And Sharon Salzberg says, so much of our unhappy conditions as living beings come from the constricting effect of our negativity toward each other. We limit ourselves and we limit others. We judge each other, compare ourselves to each other, demean and envy each other, and we ourselves suffer the strangling effects of these limitations because there are so many constricting mind states that are impediments to mudita, sympathetic joy. It's considered the most difficult of all Brahma Viharas to develop. But so potent is this quality that expressing it can defeat the aversion and the attachment that binds us. So I'm going to start with one story and then I'll share a different story.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
Is that from her book, the book on loving kindness?
You know, I took the quote, but I didn't find out where it was from. But I can look for it for you. You're welcome. That's okay. So I like telling stories. Sometimes they have morals, but most of the time I forget that part. I just tell the story and pray that you can get it. And I make the connections as much as possible. So this first story is an example of working with challenging emotions. I share a space with my sister. I actually live with her for now. And she likes to play bingo. And I remember when we were growing up, my grandmother would take us to play bingo, you know, like at the local high school or something. And you, some of you might know this, but the earlier ways of playing bingo is that they call out the number or something, and you raise your hand or you yell bingo when you had five in a row or something, right? The new version has over 20 rounds. So if you start, we'll get there about, let's see, about 6:37. You pay a little fee, and then you pay for different, okay, I've only been here twice, so I'm making some of this up because I can't remember. But you pay for little opportunities to make a little more money. They'll make an announcement and then they'll say, this is so and so. And if you have it, you get a little money. Okay. But each game is the same board, not the same board. It's the same board, but different numbers. So one game, it'll be four corners. The next game, it'll be maybe diagonally only. The next game might be block out one section. I'm like, so by the time the 20th game is, I don't care who wins, who loses, I'm done. Because it's about 11:30, and I don't care anymore. So she happened to play bingo this night, and I was out of town. And when I got back, she told me she won. I was like, great, I won $1,000. I was like, what? You won $1,000 at bingo? And so I'm supposed to be happy for her. So the envy comes up, you know? And the resentment because she doesn't share it. And I'm like, what's up with that? And then I'm like, oh man, it would be nice, you know? And it's like when you play bingo and you get so close and you almost get that one number and you don't get it, it goes up like this and then it crashes. And you're like, why am I here? And then you play five more games and it's up and down. And you're like, okay, I'm really tired. So when she won $1,000, I was like, oh my goodness. So I'm supposed to be happy for her. I really tried. I really did. I wasn't very good at it, and I'm a little embarrassed to say. But it got me to thinking, well, how come I'm not so happy for you? And, you know, we have our stuff with our family members. Anybody in this room who doesn't, please raise your hand, because I want to know what the secret is. So, you know, and it's not about not loving them. We love our family members. It's the other stuff, you know, like the personalities and being close to them and all the other things. So I'm practicing having this open heart, right? It's not working. So I thought, wow, this is really interesting for me to look at how come I couldn't do that. And at this, so what I was dealing with was envy. I was dealing with longing, wishing it was me. I was looking at, let me see what else came up. Resentment, because it wasn't me. Resentment, jealousy, envy. Did I say jealousy? Jealous because it wasn't me. I don't know how to play this game. There's 20 cards. So I'm thinking, even if I did, I would have missed it. So a missed opportunity. And then there was a part of me, just a little part, that was like, well, I'm glad for her. Because this is extra something you didn't expect. A little extra income that you can do something with. That it's not always you work and there it goes, and you work and there it goes. It's like, oh, I have a little extra. That I could really resonate and be happy for her around. But I had to go through all the other stuff, and I'm like, that's real interesting. I couldn't go there first. So, yeah, mudita's hard, you know, when we're dealing with these other feelings that come up. And it's not that I don't love her and I don't wish her well, but I sure wish it was me. And it's like, wait a minute, this isn't about you. This is about, can you be there for her and be happy for her? And I'm like, no. Okay, maybe just a little bit. There you are, I'm being real here. I'm really trying. And at the same time, I was very happy for her. It was such a surprise for her. You know, and it was like somebody at the bingo, when she got it, tapped her and said, bingo, you have it. And what was so nice about that was that the woman was helping her. So when she got the money, she gave her a little something in appreciation for looking out. And I thought, now that was really kind. And so, you know, it's complicated. And at the same time, we get an opportunity over and over to practice it, right? So here's a little story from the Buddha. He taught, this is adapted from Thich Nhat Hanh's Old Path, White Clouds. And the Buddha's talking to his son, Rahula. And he says, Rahula, practice loving kindness to overcome anger. Loving kindness has the capacity to bring happiness to others without demanding anything in return. And we know this. And it is a practice. Because it doesn't come that easy either. Or does it? Okay, raise your hand if it comes easy. Nobody's raising their hand. This is a practice. Sometimes our heart is open and it's easy to say, may you be well. And other times you're sitting in that car and somebody cuts you off, that's the last thing you're going to say. So you might want to, you know, practice this a little bit. Okay, so we're trying. And this is what's so beautiful about our practice. It's a practice. It's life. I like sitting up here in this chair. You can sit back all comfortable. Anyway, so then he says, practice compassion to overcome cruelty. Compassion has the capacity to remove the suffering of others without expecting anything in return. I think this is really hard right now. I mean, there's two big news items that makes it really hard to have compassion. One is what's going on in Israel, and the other one has just recently happened here in the United States with the Ferguson. And it's painful. It is painful to sit with helplessness. It is painful to sit with powerlessness. And it is painful to sit with rage and wanting to do something. And one more child is gone. For whatever reason, for whatever excuse, it's unacceptable. It's a child. If you have children or grandchildren, can you imagine that happening? And then my heart breaks. It's painful. And I don't want to even begin to talk about the Gaza Strip. It is painful. So how do we hold that with compassion? How do we hold that with loving kindness? This is our practice. This is where the rubber meets the road, right? Is that what you said? That's it. Can you do that? Can I do that? Can we do that? And then we practice sympathetic joy to overcome hatred. Sympathetic joy arises when one rejoices over the happiness of others and wishes others well-being and success. And then he says, practice non-attachment to overcome prejudice. Non-attachment is the way of looking at all things openly and equally. And I think that would be considered equanimity. This is because that is. This is because that is. Okay, I lost my place. Myself and others are not separate. Do not reject one thing only to chase after another. I call these the four immeasurables. Practice them, and you will become a refreshing source of vitality and happiness for others. Now that could be considered a really high bar. But he was talking to his son. I don't know how old his son was. If he was six, he's like, right, Dad, whatever you say. I don't know what you're talking about, but okay. But if he's 16, he might be like, yeah, right, Dad, whatever you say, you know? But the point is, we take it in our life and we make it work in our own life. All right, here's another story. I recently had a birthday and I hit that big milestone that's like, oh my God, I didn't even think I'd make it, which is 60. So I decided I was going to go down to LA for my birthday, and so I did. And while I was down there, I stayed with a girlfriend of mine from college, and she shared this story with me. She is part of a non-denominational church, and she also meditates and goes on retreats. Well, she has a prayer buddy. And she does prayers with her buddy every single day. And there was a woman, I think she was Pakistani, who had cancer. And the woman asked her to pray for her. So she did a prayer buddy with her. And she would get on the phone every day and she would pray with her. And she would pray that, I know that this is going to be okay and you're going to be well and there are people that care for you. She took her to different churches where they would do laying on hands and they would pray for her. The reason why she asked her to do this is because she had cancer and she wanted support. And that's a real big piece, important piece. So I forgot how long she did this, but she did it for months. And every single day, every single day, the woman's cancer went in remission. Then her husband got cancer. And so they did the prayer buddy thing with him. Every single day, She took her to different churches. They did the laying on hands. You know how you go, like, I've seen it in some of the Baptist churches. They'll invite you to come up to the front, and then they'll have a circle, and they'll pray, and they'll pray for whatever is ailing you, and may it leave you, and may you have ease, and may you have peace, and whatever it is. You know, some people get into details of whatever their problem is, but people just come up, and they just ask for support. Every day, his cancer went into remission. And she's not saying anything about, I'm all that, and I've got a direct pipeline to the Great Spirit that's making you well. She's not like that. Well, she could be a little bit like that, but her genuineness and her sincerity is wonderful. So they wanted to give her something as a gift because they were so grateful and so appreciative of what she did. So she's telling me this story, right? And he teaches real estate business. So he offered her the entire course for free, along with the certificate. And all she has to do is, not all, but study and pass. And then, not only the real estate license and real estate broker as a gift to her. And I was in tears, and she was in tears. So by the time she finished telling the story, we were both crying. And she's like, I didn't ask for it. I didn't even know it was going to happen. I had no idea. And that they offered this to me. So she is right now studying her butt off so she can pass her license, so she can have the license in September. And then they both offered then to work with her so she can begin to get clients. And so they've already set it up knowing that she's going to pass. We're going to go sell these houses together. So I was in tears. I was so happy for her. She was like, you know, it's like, isn't that wonderful? And I'm like, oh, it's just, I was so very, very happy. She had no idea it was coming. And just the sharing of the story and the knowing her kindness and knowing how she just gives to people in that way. Like when I was there, we would do a meditation practice, and I would do the metta, and then she would do her prayers. So I would do metta, and she would do her prayers, and it was back and forth, and it was so lovely. It was so lovely. And it was just like, this is just this I could do. And that helped me understand mudita in a different way than with my sister. So I have these two examples of how freely it can come when it doesn't have the challenging emotions. And when the challenging emotions, how difficult it can be, and still I wish her well. And I want her to be happy. And I want you 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 to be happy. And that comes from a sincere place of the greater good. Can we relish being joyful for you? No strings attached. I'm not looking for anything here. I can want a lot, but you know, it's a place of authenticity and true, I really want this for you, you know? So that was really interesting. It was really interesting. I have another story, but I'll tell you this first. So the definition is being happy with for someone's fortune, for someone's happiness. Sympathetic joy here refers to the potential of bliss and happiness of all sentient beings as they can all become Buddhas. And the near enemy is hypocrisy or affectation. And you can't fake it. Okay, you can pretend, but people know. People know when you're faking it. It's like, you know what, don't even bother, because it's more insulting to say that than to not. Just, you know, it's like, if you don't have anything nice to say, then just do this. Because you're not saying anything nice anyway. Even if the words sound that way. And then the opposite is jealousy. I already told you about a story about that. And when one cannot accept the happiness of others, and sympathetic joy, they say, is a great antidote for depression for oneself as well, but it shouldn't be the main goal. Jealousy has so many ways it shows up. And a lot of it has to do with our longing and yearning for something that's not fulfilled in ourselves. And then we look at someone else and we see what they have. So here's another story. I have lots of them. Last 6 weeks, I have had a lot of my family visit. And I have 5 brothers. Thank goodness they all didn't show up at once. So 4 of them came, but not all at once. First, we started with my daughter and my 2 grandchildren. And my granddaughter is a sophomore in college, and my grandson is a sophomore in high school. So she could only stay for 4 days because she had to get back to work. You know, when they're in college and they're trying to work, and they work as many hours as possible. So she was quick in, out. Then my daughter was here, and she's an assistant principal of a high school, so she had to get back to work. Then my grandson was here, and he stayed the longest, and I was waiting for him to go, because teenage boys, do I need to say more? They eat, and they eat, and they eat, and they eat, and you're like, didn't you just eat? So, you know, I had to get used to this, let's see, 15-year-old, 5'6", gangly, awkward kid hanging on me. And I'm like, can you go home now? So then he eventually goes home. And then the next group comes in. And this is my brother and his stepdaughter, who's finishing up her last year of college, and his 5-year, 5 3/4 little girl who likes to tell you, I'm going to be 5. I'm 5 3/4, not 5.5. So they showed up. And then after they show up, then my other brother, who's single, shows up. And then I have the brother who lives here. And then my brother and his other, okay, then I have a brother who's a Jehovah's Witness. And like, for those of you who know who Jack Kornfield is, he's like a Jack Kornfield and the Jehovah Witness people. So like, people knock on the door, you know how they do that. And I'm like, well, my brother, I use his name, right? Your brother is, and I'm like, oh Lord, why did I even say that? But it's trying to get him, you know, politely to go. So anyway, they show up, and my nephew is 6'6". Oh my God. And then we decide to have a barbecue. So it's all these people here. And it's like, wow. And I got to see how, you've seen this in your own family, the dynamics that happen. And we got to see, I forgot, one of my brothers was there, and he has 2 daughters. One just got accepted into Howard, and she was leaving. And the other one couldn't be there because she's finishing up her 4th year and she's working. So they were there. So it was a combination of everybody saying goodbye and hello. And I got to see the love was there, and then the happiness for the young people going to college, and the happiness for the transitions in their life. And the happiness and the sadness for the comings and the goings. And it was pretty exhausting. So one of the girls, there's so many people there, she wants to go shopping. And she worked really hard for her money. So, you know, you're impressed. You're going to support her. Okay, we're going to go shopping. She spent so much money. And I was like, wow. And so she went to all these high-end stores and bought all this stuff. And what I got to see was my stuff come up because I took her. Everybody was working, and the guys were, you know how you guys are, I'm not going shopping, so forget about it. I got to see my stuff come up around, wow, all this money for this bag, and you know what you could do with that, and just leave it alone, and just be happy, because this is what she chose to do. And then she wants me to help her choose, and I'm like, oh God, this is hard. But it was interesting, because I was also very happy. One, because she worked for it, she earned it, her mother wasn't going to pay for it, and she did that for herself. And then I could support that without bringing my stuff in it. That was hard. That was hard. And yet, it was a great opportunity, and I really appreciate it. So, again, can we be happy for someone else's joy? Even though it was pretty, you know, it was around stuff. I was happy for her capacity to do what she did, and that was amazing. So we have these opportunities in our life, if we look at them, and the ways that we could cultivate more mudita, in little ways and in big ways. We can do it with our partners, we can do it with our children, we can do it in our employment. We can do it with ourselves. We can do it for others. But it's real. It can be really, really challenging. And even if, and even with the challenge, can we bring kindness to that? Can we recognize, oh, this is difficult. I don't need to beat myself up about this. I notice it's difficult. I still wish you well. And there's this whatever's going on, I cannot acknowledge that and not beat myself up about that either. And many of you know this, mudita is a word from Sanskrit and Pali that has no counterpart in English. It means sympathetic or unselfish joy, or the joy and the good fortune of others. Mudita is significant as one of the four immeasurables. And I love this idea of immeasurables. It's like, how can you measure that? Or one of the heavenly abodes. It's like, wow, that is really cool. I get to practice one of these because it's going to take a lifetime or a few to try to get this. And that's cool in itself because it's a practice. And I get to do and learn and cultivate it over and over. Gratitude is the state of mind of thankfulness. As it is cultivated, we experience an increase in our sympathetic joy, our happiness at another's happiness. Just as in the cultivation of compassion, we may feel the pain of others, so we may begin to feel the joy as well. And it doesn't stop there. And that's a quote by Stephen Levine. So, this practice of gratitude is so amazing because we can start with ourselves. We can practice the gratitude of just thanking our bodies. Thank you for helping me get up this morning. We can thank our minds. Thank you for waking up in my right mind. Thank you, feet, for helping me walk. Thank you, earth, for holding me. All the different ways. Each one of you, I could ask each one of you something that you're grateful for. And that is a practice of gratitude. And if we hold this practice of thankfulness, then we can begin to cultivate even more joy. Because if we can practice and say thank you for our own bodies, then we can resonate with someone else who's having a difficult time that does something that their body can move. I can relate to that. Thank you. Linda helps me up and down off of this podium. I could not do it without you. Thank you. And I think other people could have sympathetic joy for that. Like, oh no, I can't do that. But I appreciate that you can. So So thank you. So here's a poem. Let's see. The Buddha said, and this is from the Samayutta Nikaya. Oh, sorry, I couldn't see you. That's what happens when you get older. Oh, wait. Light, anyway. I'm a little, you know, takes a little time here. The Buddha said, I declare that the heart's release by sympathetic joy has the sphere of infinite consciousness for its excellence. How cool is that?
Would you say that again?
Yes. The Buddha said, I declare that the heart's release by sympathetic joy has the sphere of infinite consciousness for its excellence. So it's boundlessness, no boundaries, it's boundlessness. So my wishing, for example, my wishing everyone in this room well is boundlessness. It's not based on anything. I may never see you again, or I may see you tomorrow, and I still wish you the same. I wish you well. So I would like to end with this poem, and it's called Looking Up, and it's by P. Gregory Gus. And another story. I was in, was it CDL or DVD? I think it was in CDL. And there was a person in our group. He used to be the mayor of Sebastopol. And he started this poetry group thing, which means every day we would get a poem. So does, needless to say, I have lots of poems. And so this is where it comes from. And I'm giving this to you as a gift. Looking up, the evening sky rolls in on open arms, just as it has done for eons. Like breath itself, like water that holds light, like a golden moment where we stop to breathe in to ourselves that sacred is here, now. In such moments, all of life is seen. Our souls speak in a unifying and quiet tonal voice of the connections to all, and the miraculous beauty of belonging to one another. Look up. The clouds just might meet your loving gaze. I wish you well. I wish you well. I wish you well. I wish you happiness. I wish you joy. I wish you well. I wish you happiness. Thank you all for your practice. And may we continue to practice and cultivate mudita. Thank you. So, of course, I'm totally not following the schedule. But we've got lots of time to... Whoops. I did this wrong. We've got 20 minutes. Oh, my goodness. I thought it said 7:30. Okay, so we have a little time. So what I'd like to do is I'd like you to turn around to someone and just for a few minutes talk about an experience where you practiced mudita where it was easy, and then talk about an experience when you practiced when it was challenging. And I will keep track of the time. So just turn to someone next to you. We'll keep it easy. And you'll be person A and person B.
I think I'm going to be saying person.
Okay, so everybody has a partner? Anybody who does not have a partner? Raise your hand. Okay, so this is how we're going to do it. Okay, may I have your attention? Thank you. Okay, person A is the one with the longest hair.
Oh.
Person B goes first. So, first round will be 2 minutes each. First of all, I just want you to settle in, and maybe each of you take a full breath together. And person B will begin. And your first part of it is you're going to just talk about a time when mudita was challenging. And then I'm going to ring the bell. You'll take a deep breath, and then you'll switch and ask the same question. And then we'll do it again. So I'll be watching the time. So take a moment, be with your partner. And you may begin. A time when it was difficult. And the other person just listens. Thank you, partners. Now, some of you are in threes. There will be time at the end of this when you're debriefing where you can continue to talk for those who haven't had a chance. So please know you're not going to be neglected. And know that we always run out of time. So now I'd like you to switch. And the second person will speak. And the first person will listen. And it's the same question. And for those in three, you monitor yourselves, but there will be time at the end where you can have more time to talk. Okay? All right, please begin.
now I'd like you to take a moment, thank the person. I'm going to go back to the first person and ask the second question, which is, share a time when mudita was not, which was, blah, 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 blah. Share a time when the experience of mudita was one of ease. So thank the person, and now switch. You still will have time. I haven't forgotten the people in the three groups. I mean, three in the group. So now we switch and let the other person answer the question, and you can begin. Thank you. thank the person. And now what I invite you to do is just talk about what that experience was like. What it was like to listen to, what it was like to speak, have that attention, to be attentive. Just notice. And for those in the three, if you haven't had a chance to answer the questions, do so now, and you'll also be able to debrief. I'm going to do this a little bit longer so you all will have that opportunity. So you can begin now. Two more minutes. Thank everyone in your group or your partner. Let's come back together.
Oh.
the invitation now is to open it up to sharing. What did you notice? What was easy? What was difficult? Mary said she would do the mic. Thank you so much, Mary. And over here, Mary, she had her hand first. So.
You sure? Okay,
thank you.
Yeah. I noticed that it was much easier. Do I really need this?
Yeah.
Yes.
I noticed that it was much easier to have sympathetic joy for people I didn't know that well.
I'd second that.
Anybody else? Raise your hand. Okay, good.
We didn't do it quite the way you suggested.
That's
suggested,
fine.
But I think... let me speak to you if I'm not saying it right. I think we both came away with how hard this territory is. Mm-hmm. And how, sometimes it's easier and sometimes it's harder. And I love that you chose this topic. And I love that you talked about the gradations of it. And one, I dismissed jealousy a long time ago because it's just ugly and mean. But I allow myself envy. I wish I had it too, but I'm happy for you. And even if you don't share, I'm glad for you. So that's how I've dealt with it, and it's helped ease it up a little bit. But just we were just noticing how hard it is, and how in our culture, we're inundated with so many images all the time.
Yes.
Of, you know, have bigger boobs, have bigger lips, have a bigger house.
Exactly.
You know, and so anyway.
Thank you. It is hard work. And there were some hands up on the side, in the front.
I was just going to say, it was great.
Close.
I was just going to say it was great talking to Margo, and the one thing I remember was Thich Nhat Hanh saying that if you practice mudita, since in the whole world there's always somebody that's happy, then you can always be happy.
I'm curious. Oh, did you want your hand? No, please. Did you want to say something?
Well, just it's
please.
The next thing.
Please say something, and then I'll speak after you.
So, one of the lights that came on tonight for me is just that the possibility and the realization that if I own the, let's say, harder feelings, darker feelings, denser feelings, that then, and if I'm really being able to accept them and open to the feelings, then there's room for the mudita too. Your example, like with your sister, well, it was there, maybe it was 5% there, but I noticed it was, you know, it is there. And so anyway, there's like a liberation in being able to have it not, you know, be black and white, one thing or the other.
Right. Thank you. I'm curious. Did you want to speak, Sean?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious about the process itself. What was it like to be listened to?
It made it much easier to speak. I tend to be kind of shy and hold back a lot, and it just was easy to rattle on even if I didn't think I was doing too well.
I want you to take a moment and just think that every single one of you practiced mudita. By listening to this person and by giving, you were receptive to their happiness. And you were happy just for their happiness with no attachments. By the sheer practice, generosity of listening, it was a practice of sympathetic joy of, I am here relishing your happiness and your sharing of it, even when it was difficult. I'm here witnessing your joy, and that is mudita. So we get to do this.
And we get to see another way of, sometimes it's difficult and sometimes it's hard. I mean, try it again. Sometimes it's difficult and sometimes it's not. And by the sheer willingness to offer yourself for 2 minutes, that whatever this person is saying to you is the most important thing right now, is mudita. It's a practice of generosity. It's a practice of loving kindness. It's a practice of compassion. It's a practice of equanimity. And we did it right here. So it's not out here. This is it right here, right now. And so we get to do this. We get to be listened to, and we listen to others. And we get to.
I just turned this off.
Thank you, dear. So we get to receive, and we get to give. So I'm glad that you all had an opportunity to experience and practice mudita right here. Right now. May you all be well, and may you all be happy. So thank you. Now we go into any metta readings. Thank you.
For Sangha member Miriam, whose chronic pain is now complicated with an additional autoimmune condition. For all the suffering of the, for all those suffering from depression. For the Ferguson community.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I would like to offer us an opportunity for those who have not written anything. Sorry. I would like to offer the community an opportunity now, whether you wrote something or not, to add to the metta, because we have a little time. So instead of me passing the mic out and all of us saying something, because then we would go over it, if anybody else wants to offer some metta for someone, let's do so now. Yes. Loudly.
Israel and Palestine.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
My Aunt Claire is going blind.
Thank you.
And my other Aunt Sheila is declining in health too.
Thank you. Yes.
For Robin Williams.
Yes. Thank you. Anyone else?
For my sister Anne.
Thank you.
For, I forget the name of the disease that's going around. It's killing people in Africa.
Yeah.
Ebola.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
For my cousin and his family, as he killed himself.
Thank you. My deepest sympathy to you. Anyone else? Yes, Shel.
For all people suffering from depression.
Thank you. So, may all beings in all directions, without exception, may we offer our practice for the merit, healing, and liberation, without exception. May all beings be protected from inner and outer harm. May all beings love and be loved. May all beings live with ease and well-being. And may all beings be free from suffering, its causes and conditions. Thank you all for your practice and your teachings.
Sadhu,
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 sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you all. You've been wonderful. And thank you for having such openness of heart, allowing me to switch it up a little bit since I can't see. And I thought we were going to 7:30 and it was 7:50. Thank you all. Please enjoy the snacks. This is social hour, third Sunday.
Thank you again for everything.